Gottfried Weber, writing about Wellington's victory in the journal Cecilia in 1825, pretty much nailed it on the head when he wrote this, quote, "Should not everyone, the dearer Beethoven and his art are to him, the more fervently wish that oblivion might very soon draw an expiatory veil on such an aberration of his muse, through which he has desecrated the glorified object, art, and himself?" Unquote. Well, Beethoven, for his part, must have known Wellington's victory was garbage. He must have composed it with his tongue firmly planted in his cheek. And yet, he wrote the following lines in response to the review by Gottfried Weber, a review written 12 years after the composition of Wellington's victory. And please, please, the delicate of ear who are listening right now should turn their sound down if, oh, bad words offend them. Here's what Beethoven wrote in response to Weber's review. Quote, "Ach, du erbarmlicher Schuft, was ich scheiße ist besser als wie du je gedacht." I'll translate. "Ah, you pitiful scoundrel, my shit is better than anything you ever thought," unquote. Ho-ho! Does this mean that Beethoven knew that Wellington's victory was marred? Or was he simply, my friends, was he simply serving up a rather obvious comparison between his own body waste and Gottfried Weber's writing? I guess the moral to this story is, no matter what Beethoven himself thought of Wellington's victory, he would permit no criticism from other quarters. It's okay for us to criticize our own children, but God help anyone else who does so. Back, please, to Beethoven's astounding popularity as a result of Wellington's victory. From a strictly monetary point of view, 1814 was, without a doubt, the best year of his life. Of the 11 public concerts held for Beethoven's benefit in his lifetime, 11 public concerts for his benefit in his lifetime, five of them, almost half, took place in 1814. Beethoven's opera, Fidelio, was revived in 1814 to huge success. Beethoven's Symphony No. 8 in F major, opus 93, that we sampled from earlier in this lecture, was premiered during this period of Beethovenian hoopla on February 4, 1814. Also on that program were the now ubiquitous Wellington's Victory and the Symphony No. 7 in A, opus 92. Look, the seemingly universal acclaim for his music must have been incredibly gratifying for Beethoven, who for many years had been accused by his critics of being a composer's composer, that is, a composer writing music of such complexity and of such aesthetic difficulty that it could only be understood by other composers and a few overeducated connoisseurs. On July 13, 1814, Beethoven had the following article inserted into the Viennese newspaper, the Friedensblatter. And of course, we can anticipate that Beethoven wrote this himself. And I quote, "A word to his admirers. How often, in your chagrin that his depth was not sufficiently appreciated, have you said that Van Beethoven composes only for the future, only for posterity? You have, no doubt, now been convinced of your error, even if only since the acclaim aroused by his immortal opera Fidelio, you now know that the present can find kindred souls and sympathetic hearts for music, which is great and beautiful, without withholding its just privilege from the future." Unquote. Look, when it came to his music, at least, Beethoven had no self-esteem problem whatsoever. Now, my friends, perspective, capital letters, perspective. I would remind you all that less than a year before these wonderful events, Beethoven had been languishing in a saloon in Baden, genuinely schmutzig, according to observers, avoided by other patrons as a result of the uninviting habits into which he had fallen. As to what those particular habits were, let us simply not go there. I suggest a simple yuck is all that's called for.